Today is Tuesday, May 7th. We're talking about a tornado outbreak in the plains and the threat that's sticking around today. Also, Israel began its controversial invasion of southern Gaza. And American universities are doing more to control crowds protesting the Gaza war. Plus, Boeing is facing new scrutiny, this time over missed inspections. How new research could pave the way for new Alzheimer's treatments. And a country music legend has gotten his voice back thanks to AI. Those stories and more news to know today, next. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Parts of Oklahoma and Kansas are in the middle of a dangerous storm. A rare high risk for severe thunderstorms, level 5 out of 5, was issued for both states, covering about 3.5 million people. It's been more than a year since the last level 5 warning, and the last time 131 tornadoes formed across 11 states. This time, many tornadoes have already been reported. Some people have been hurt, and towns have seen a lot of damage. Though at this point, it's hard to see the full extent of it. More strong tornadoes are possible into the early morning hours, along with flash flooding and large hail. Again, expect to see more information come out today as officials get a better handle on the impact of these storms. While the most intense storms were likely to hit Oklahoma and Kansas, severe weather was possible from Texas to South Dakota. Today, the severe weather threat is expected to move east into the Ohio Valley and Mid-South. Cities like Indianapolis, Cincinnati, Memphis, and Nashville are all at risk. Israel is going ahead with its plans for the southern Gaza city of Rafah, where more than a million Palestinians have taken refuge. Palestinian and Egyptian officials say Israeli tanks entered Rafah last night. Hours earlier, the Israeli military had called on Palestinians to evacuate immediately, and Israel confirmed this is just the first phase of its military operation. It says it also conducted airstrikes on specific Hamas targets in Rafah yesterday, though Israel hasn't commented about exactly what could come next. The Biden administration is still against a major ground operation in Rafah that does not consider how to protect civilians. The issue is, in addition to being full of refugees, the Rafah crossing is a main entry point for humanitarian aid into Gaza. But Israel says the city is also a strategic site for Hamas, which is known to purposely operate among civilians. It's regrouped in Rafah after much of northern Gaza was destroyed in the war. Hamas fighters near the Rafah crossing actually fired into southern Israel just this week, killing 4 Israeli soldiers. So far, nearly 35,000 Palestinians have been reported killed in Gaza since the war broke out in October, as well as more than 1,400 Israelis. Meanwhile, negotiators are still trying to salvage a ceasefire deal. Hamas says it actually agreed to the latest proposal yesterday. Under that proposal, all Israeli hostages being held in Gaza would have to be released, and Israeli troops would have to gradually withdraw from the entire enclave. Well, Israel says the terms Hamas accepted were still far from meeting its requirements. But an Israeli delegation is headed to Egypt today for further talks. So stay tuned. Columbia University has decided to follow USC's lead and cancel its main graduation ceremony. It's in response to protests over the Gaza war that have been disrupting the campus for weeks. The university says the security concerns have now become insurmountable. Other schools have relocated or changed their ceremonies as well, since protests are still gaining steam on several campuses. For example, just yesterday, protesters at MIT near Boston resisted orders to clear their encampment, leading to some fights between protesters and police. Same thing at UC San Diego, where dozens of people were arrested. UCLA decided to return to remote learning this week in response to a new round of protests. And those are just a few of the many developments happening at campuses all over the country. On the other side of things, pro-Israel protesters in New York City staged their own protest yesterday to commemorate the Holocaust and denounce what they see as anti-Semitism and harassment coming from campus protests. President Biden is expected to address some of those concerns today as part of his speech marking the Days of Remembrance at a U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum ceremony. Congress established the Days of Remembrance in the 1980s as the country's yearly acknowledgement of the 6 million Jews and millions of others who were killed in the Holocaust. Biden has already condemned anti-Semitic protests, but also defended free speech rights and said people should empathize with Palestinians as well. Though he is still facing criticism from some people on both sides of this issue for not taking a strong enough stance. Russian troops are going to start practicing with tactical nuclear weapons. Those are small nuclear warheads and delivery systems designed to destroy enemy targets in a specific area. Though they do not cause the widespread radioactive fallout that strategic nuclear weapons would. Putin has warned he could use tactical nuclear weapons ever since invading Ukraine. But yesterday marked the first time Russia publicly announced drills. The U.S. called Russia's announcement completely inappropriate. But Russia's government says it's just responding to so-called threats from the West. He pointed to comments by French President Emmanuel Macron, who said he would not rule out sending troops to Ukraine. And British Foreign Secretary David Cameron said Ukraine could use British-supplied weapons to strike targets inside Russia. Plus, you'll remember the U.S. passed an aid package for Ukraine last month. Though, keep in mind, it could take months before Ukraine gets enough of the aid to make a noticeable difference on the battlefield. U.S. Social Security and Medicare will run out of money in just over a decade. At least that's according to the latest report from the U.S. Treasury. It means Congress needs to make policy changes, or else Social Security won't be able to pay full benefits to retiring Americans by 2035. And Medicare won't be giving full benefits by 2036. But this new report is actually considered somewhat good news, since the go-broke date for the programs used to be even sooner. About 71 million people, including retirees, disabled people, and children, receive Social Security benefits now. Medicare covers more than 66 million people, mostly senior citizens. And an aging population could drive those numbers higher. So expect this to keep being a top political talking point in the months leading up to the November election. All right, we have more news for you still coming up. But first, this episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you ever felt distracted at work because of something going on in your personal life or vice versa? Sometimes the stress of just life can be distracting or even just weigh you down. But in my experience, talking it out, getting things off your chest, and maybe even having someone give you good guidance on how to handle it all moving forward can go a long way in lightening the load and making you feel like yourself. Therapy is a great place to get things off your chest and over time, learn how to handle the stress in your life better overall. You really don't need a big traumatic reason to benefit from therapy. I like to think of it kind of like going to the gym, but to strengthen and maintain my mental health. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/newsworthy today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/newsworthy. Okay, now back to the news. It's Indiana's turn to vote in the primaries. Of course, the race for the White House will top the ballots, but President Biden and former President Trump have already secured enough delegates to get their party's nominations. So this election day is not quite so crucial for them. Still, Biden and Trump have faced ongoing protest votes from people who want to voice their dissatisfaction with their choices and candidates. And that could happen in Indiana, too. Races that will be more closely watched, though, are for governor, Congress, and the state legislature, since there are a lot of competitive contests at stake. There are now just 182 days until the general election this November. The third week now of former President Trump's criminal trial got off to a tense start. The judge ruled Trump had violated his gag order for a 10th time. So the judge fined the former president another $1,000 for saying in an interview that the jury was mostly Democrats and that it was picked too quickly. Then the judge said it was clear these fines are not serving as a deterrent and that going forward, the court will have to consider jail time for future violations. Of course, that would be an unprecedented step in what's already a historic trial that stems from a hush money payment made to an adult film actress. After the judge's ruling, jurors heard testimony from Trump Organization employees. They walked the jury through a series of company records that prosecutors say are evidence of Trump covering up the payment. As you know, Trump has pleaded not guilty and still says he did nothing wrong. After court, Trump again criticized the whole trial, claiming it's only happening in an effort to keep him off the campaign trail. This trial is expected to last at least a couple more weeks. Boeing is under investigation again. This time, it's because of an issue that the plane maker actually brought to the FAA itself. Boeing admitted its employees may have skipped some inspections on the 787 Dreamliners and then falsified records. So it's now reinspecting all 787s in production. It's not clear at this point if any of the 787 Dreamliners actually flying passengers already will need to be pulled out of service. But Boeing says there's no immediate safety issue. The company was apparently alerted to the phony inspections records through an internal system for employees to report problems. The National Transportation Safety Board, the Justice Department, and two Senate committees are looking into the company's practices now. And that's on top of the latest investigation from the FAA. Alzheimer's disease may be inherited more often than previously known. A new study was published this week that found people with two copies of a specific gene variant are almost certain to develop Alzheimer's. Before this, genetic forms of the disease were thought to account for less than 1% of all cases. But this development means up to a fifth of patients may have a genetically caused form of the disease, making this type of Alzheimer's one of the most common genetic disorders in the world. And it could affect future Alzheimer's research. Eventually, this finding could help to develop new treatments like gene therapy. And hundreds of thousands of Americans could receive an Alzheimer's diagnosis before developing any symptoms. Though for now, gene testing is not recommended on a wide scale. There's new music out from country legend Randy Travis. This might come as a surprise, since the Grammy-winning singer suffered a severe stroke in 2013 that left him unable to speak. He's since been able to communicate a little bit, but still struggles. So his new single, Where That Came From, was created with the help of artificial intelligence. AI took Travis's voice from an old recording, which was then used to lay the lyrics over the voice of another artist. Travis announced the release on Instagram yesterday, saying, quote, "Many thanks to my wonderful team and the best fans in the world for putting me back in the saddle again. I've enjoyed every moment of it." That's it for the main news today. So now it's time for Trivia Tuesday, when we ask a different trivia question every week. But first, a quick break to talk about our sponsor, Hiya Health. As busy parents, I know you do not want to have one more thing to keep track of, which is why it is so great that Hiya sends their vitamins straight to your door each month. You don't have to think about it. But even more than that, I chose Hiya because, unlike other children's vitamins that basically seem like candy in disguise, Hiya's have zero sugar and zero gummy junk, and are instead a pediatrician-approved chewable vitamin that my toddler seriously looks forward to having every single morning. I also love that you get this great, convenient bottle with your first order, and then they just send you eco-friendly refills every month, so it's easy and convenient. You even get stickers that your kiddo can decorate the bottle with. My toddler really enjoyed putting his name on it. He actually got to do the vitamins bottle and the probiotics bottle because we are big fans of both in our household. So we've worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. Receive 50% off your first order. To claim this deal, you need to go to HiyaHealth.com/newsworthy. The deal is not available on the regular website. Go to Hiya, H-I-Y-A, Health, HEALTH.com/newsworthy and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults. Okay, now back to Trivia Tuesday. So today's trivia question is, who did the U.S. buy Florida from? You can play along with us in our weekly roundup email that comes out each Friday. As for last week's trivia question, what mineral can you add to water to make things float easier? The answer is salt. As the salt dissolves in water, it adds more weight, and that makes the water denser and allows more objects to float on the surface that would sink in fresh water. You can test it out in your own home if you want to with a peeled hard-boiled egg, a jar of warm water, and salt. When you place the egg in the jar of just water, it will sink to the bottom. But take the egg back out and stir in as much salt as will dissolve in the water. Then place the egg back in the water, and this time, the egg will float. Have fun. All right, thank you so much for listening and making us part of your daily routine. We'll be back with another news roundup for you tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.